Welcome to the U-Turn Podcast. This is the place to connect to who you truly are. We're bringing PhDs, experts, and leaders to help you elevate your mindset in your work life and in your love life so that you can see things differently and truly love your world. I'm Ashley Stahl. I'm a career expert, author, and TEDx speechwriter and booker, and I'm excited to bring you in to this week's episode. All right, U-Turn friends, I have someone with very special energy for you on the show today, and it's Terry Rice. I was just on his show called Launch Your Business, and it's a podcast that helps entrepreneurs make money, save time, avoid burnout. Like, we all need that. He's a business development consultant, staff writer at Entrepreneur, a recognized marketing expert, and his previous experiences, internal consulting at Adobe, at Facebook, and he's an instructor at NYU, by the way. And he speaks at, you know, business development events. And it's interesting because when I think about business, I think about three things. I think about lead generation, which is business development. I think about the middle person, like sometimes there's someone in between the customer and the product. And then I think about the product. So the fact that he has business development and all the resilience that comes with that is something that I'm really excited to talk about. So Terry, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah, it's funny that we started our episode. I was late and I was telling you about some domestic violence that I was hearing and reporting next door. And you were helping me get grounded, which was so kind of you. And so I guess I was really working with the resilience roadmap that we can talk about today that you have. I was pulling the value out of you before I hit record.
Yeah. And I think, it's a sad situation, but it's a good way to show the benefit of connection with people and how just deploying empathy and understanding can turn things around relatively quickly.
Yeah. I love that, you know, before I hit record, I told you this was happening and you're like, let's diffuse it. Let's talk about something we're proud of. Let's talk something we're grateful for. And I felt such a shift, and it's so fun to remember that like shifting doesn't have to be a whole project just because whatever you feel feels like it's a big thing. The shift doesn't have to be a big thing too. It could be a small thing that you can shift out.
Yeah, any step in a positive direction is how you fight back against the negative things that happen. So the smallest thing, it could be a smile, it could be a memory, whatever it is. You just want to say to yourself, look, I have control over this. Yes, this thing happened. It's unfortunate, but everything else afterwards, I have full control over.
Yeah. There's something about your energy. Like I've interviewed hundreds of people and I know you've done the same, but there's something really vibrant about how you're like in grounding and happy and fulfilled that you show up with that feels really authentic. I know you have an amazing wife, you have kids, correct? I recall. So what do you feel is the secret? And then I want to get into all of your work, but what do you feel like personally has kept you so connected?
I'll say this, and it actually has to do with my children. Unfortunately, I lost my son TJ 6 years ago, my namesake. And that was obviously a very difficult experience to go through. But it also made me more empathetic because in the days and weeks that followed, most people didn't know that I lost my son. So they're just acting the way you normally would towards someone in New York City, which can be sometimes rude. But what I realized after that is you never know what someone's going through. So you may as well just default to being cool, default to being nice, default to being empathetic. And knowing that, I also want to empower other people to have the ability to generate revenue on their own terms when maybe they're going through something like I am or like I was, because I cannot imagine having a 9-to-5 job at that time and having to go into work and someone's, oh, did you hear about the new bagels in the break room? When I was like mourning the loss of my son. So there's a freedom that I can help people achieve through entrepreneurship. And that's another way that my son just keeps on giving to the world through this gift that I'm sharing with other people.
I feel like the darkest darks bring the lightest lights. And there's so many different forms of loss. And I'm so sad to hear that you went through that. And also glad you're making art out of it. I mean, so painful. I know for me, like when I think about resilience, there's so many different factors that sometimes feel like, how are we going to recover? You know, I had an era where I lost all my money. I was telling you that I used to overspend and now I'm so much more responsible. I'm a real estate investor and all this stuff. You know, my sister died. I called off a wedding. I was diagnosed with Lyme disease and my whole business went under all in the same like year, like 18-month period. And I was the most Buddha I've ever been in my life because I don't know if I was just fight freeze, like just, you know, freezing, But people were like, wow, you feel so still. And I think that there was just such a freedom for me of living my worst nightmare. It was like, wow, I'm in the scariest thing and I'm still breathing. I still have a pulse and there's still going to be a tomorrow and this is all temporary. And to viscerally live that. But I know some people, a lot of the pain that they suffer from is not what's happening, but the fear of loss, the fear of, and it makes us less resilient, it makes us less present. So, yeah, for anyone who's in a setback right now and they're stuck in the negative momentum, what would be a starter for you in communicating with them on how they can start to loosen that grip it has on them?
There's this really cool study that came out of Cornell that revealed that 85% of the things that we worry about actually never happen. They just don't happen. And what they also found was the 15% of the times that did happen, 79% of people said it either wasn't that bad or they learned something from the experience. So my dad always used to say, hey, you can't like walk around life worried about something that might never happen. He didn't have the data to back it up like Cornell did, but that's really part of it. But once it does happen, I think the sooner you admit, hey, this thing happened, the better. Because what I find is some people, they're like, I can't believe this happened. You know, why? This is, you know, I'm so upset, so on and so forth. And it happened. The sooner you can just confront it and say, okay, what can I do next? The better, right? Because you're stuck in that zone if you don't, in that maze. And another issue is people trying to go around something or under it. You have to go through it. The only way is through. And I know it's not easy. But that's the way you really do find this full resolution. It can actually turn a setback into an opportunity. So that's where it starts. First of all, realizing whatever you're worrying about might never happen. So you should probably move on. But if it does happen, realize you have full control over what happens next. And it starts with your attitude.
Okay, so there's a couple things. I love that you are an expert in business development because essentially what I'm hearing when somebody says that is that they're an expert at creating opportunities. And that to me is what resilience breeds, right? Like when you feel taken out, you can create more opportunities. I think we're living in a time where so many people feel so much scarcity, whether it's like they don't want to be going back to the office after COVID and they want to start a side hustle and they're feeling this sense of scarcity, like maybe success is for other people. Maybe the good things are not meant for them. And we know that's not true. We know that we all bleed the same color, have the same parts going on inside. So the only thing different, and you know, amongst all of us is what we're thinking. So as somebody starts to loosen their grip and let themselves feel things, let's talk about momentum. Let's even talk about it through the lens of opportunity creation. Maybe it's an entrepreneur, maybe it's somebody who's dating, they want to find the one. Can you share a little bit about how your mind works when it comes to, I'm going to create opportunity?
Yeah, there's two tools you can use. And the first one is Epic Thoughts. Are you jotting down 10 difficult things you've achieved in your life that show you, hey, I've done tough stuff before, and it's prepared me to take on more challenges going forward. For example, on my end, I could say I made the varsity football team when I was 14 years old. I got a job at Facebook back when it was even more competitive to work there. I got into business school. I have four children, and we somehow made it through the pandemic. So you want to list all those things out. And when you do it, you'll say to yourself, gosh, there's a body of work that shows that, first of all, I'm a success no matter where I'm at right now in regards to the hierarchy and some kind of random chart. And second of all, I am prepared to take on more challenges. That's the first thing, just building up that confidence, but realize that confidence comes from past experiences, not motivational posters, not pep talks, none of that stuff. It's things you've actually done before. The next is divergent and convergent thinking. Pretend the setback that I suffered was I'm a public speaker, right? Pretend I applied to speak somewhere and they said no. I could sit there and feel bad about it, or I could do divergent and convergent thinking. Divergence, when you think of all the things that are still available to you, right? What is the adjacent possible? Okay, I can pitch more organizations. I can change my topic. I can update my speaker reel. There's a lot of stuff you can do. And then once you whiteboard out all these ideas, you want to do convergent thinking. Okay, based on everything I could do, what makes the most sense based on this opportunity, my resources, and the impact? The benefit of the just starting with divergent thinking is you realize, look, there's a lot of stuff I can still do. I'm not trapped here. I'm not stuck. And then convergent thinking, you're like, okay, cool. Here's how I go into action.
I love that you're saying that because I feel like there have been so many times I've spoken on a stage and somebody stood up and said, I feel stuck or some version of that. And to me, the remedy to feeling stuck and the self-empowerment is if you feel stuck, it's because you're not creating enough options for yourself. We live in an infinite supply of options. So if the stuckness is there, it's because you're buying into one option too much, or you're buying into two options too much, and you're not buying into the array of options and infinite possibilities that exist. So are there any exercises or tools that you use to start to tune in to the variety of options that exist in front of you? And let's take this into a business capacity. Let's say we've got a new freelancer listening and just curious what would come up for you around helping them start to generate business.
Yeah. And I'll start by saying this, not to sound rude, but being stuck is a choice. Fortunately, so is growth, right? So again, if you're stuck, it's because you're not trying to explore other options, right? You're just saying, hey, I'm stuck, I'm a victim, so on and so forth. So how do you get out of this? I mean, fortunately, success leaves clues. So whatever you're trying to do, maybe it is become a public speaker, find other examples of people who are successful public speakers and look at the clues they left behind, right? So follow them on social media, join their newsletter, follow their journey, whatever it is, and then reverse engineer that and think to yourself, okay, what have they done to get where they're at right now? And then from there, you can say, okay, what should I do right now to get where they are? What can I do today? What would that person be doing right now if they're in my situation? So it's got to be challenging still, but it doesn't have to be confusing, right? And normally, I'm sure you've seen this before, there are some people who just find success in any avenue that they enter, right? Any arena. It's because they know that success is based on three things: actions, tools, and mindset. That's all you need, right? Take the right actions, use the right tools, and leverage the right mindset. But I would argue if you're feeling stuck, you got to start with a mindset, because if you don't do that, you will not use the actions or learn how to use the right tools to find that success.
So I love that you talk about mindset, and I feel like this is such a buzz term and people know that they need to be in a good mindset. We know we need to look at our past in order to understand our current blocks today. What is something unexpected that you found has been a really important tool or thought or approach that you've had to rewiring your mindset? What is something that you do in the active day when you feel a block?
This is going to sound morbid, but it's going to be beneficial. I think about lying on my deathbed. I think about X years from now, I'm going to be staring at the ceiling on my deathbed. And what's going to be going through my head? I don't want it to be regret. So in those moments, current day, when I'm feeling, let's be honest, kind of lazy, like I don't want to do some of the stuff that I'm encouraging everyone else to do. I imagine it's 50 years from now, I'm looking down at myself present day and saying, look, this is your opportunity. You're not going to get this again. This moment right now is fleeting. It's going to go away. Pursue this opportunity. Sure, you might get turned down. Sure, it might be hard, but you'll learn from it. You'll grow from it and you'll move on. But you want to move on without that regret. And here's the problem is people think, oh, being that disciplined is hard, right? Yeah, it is. But you can't avoid pain, right? You either suffer the pain of discipline or the pain of regret. The only difference is that discipline, actually, let me go back. The only difference is that pain of discipline will yield great outcomes, whereas the pain of regret, it just kind of sticks there and makes you feel like you could have done more with your life.
Yeah, I guess it's pick your poison, my friends. It's all available for the taking. Okay, so you talk about identifying positive actions. I feel like we live in a world where it's easy to make a to-do list, but to make one that makes you want to move, that feels motivating, that's pulling you, I think that's more of an art than a science. You know, we can all write things down and do them, but what do you do to get inspiration and build that momentum? You know, I love the question from Mary Morrissey, what can I do from where I am now with what I have now to get closer to whatever the goal is, and writing out a big list and starring the things that feel like fun and expansive. You know, I remember I wanted to coach women in the White House a long time ago. Now I'm just writing and booking TED Talks for people, which has been really fun. But back when I wanted to help women with their career pivots and burnout, I remember doing that question and thinking, I just need to go to events in DC. And I spent a weekend in DC going to events and I got clients in the White House. So it was like inspired action. But I think a lot of people, maybe they struggle to find that inspired action. So I'm curious what your take is on that.
It's a process. And it all starts with having a vision for your life. What do you want your life to look like on a daily basis? How do you want to be known? What kind of work do you want to do? What kind of circles are you in? And then from there, you think to yourself, all right, what do I have to do, become, learn, experience, and sacrifice to make that happen? So that's kind of the baseline. And when it comes to a to-do list, the actions you'll take, do not create a to-do list. Think about what you have to do during the week to deliver your vision, and then you actually put that on your calendar. For example, on my end, I love public speaking. This is one of my favorite things to do, get in front of a crowd, engage with them, and then talk afterwards. I know if I want to be a great public speaker and get more talks booked, I have to create a lot of content, right? I don't just pitch people saying, please let me speak. I show them, hey, look, I have great stuff to say. And I realized when I was going through my planning, I have to dedicate at least 12 hours per week to creating content for my podcast, for my entrepreneur column, for my newsletter, 12 hours per week. So I don't put it on my to-do list. I put it on my calendar. And I know that I'm most creative in the morning. So I have mornings blocked off for content creation and going to the gym because can't leave that out. The back after the day, that's when I'm doing admin stuff. That's when I'm doing meetings, stuff like that. So put your to-do list on your calendar because that's how you develop a high performance routine. And you determine what high performance is based on what you want to achieve and your overall outcomes you're looking for. But you have to schedule these things. Don't just make a list.
I love this. And, I used to take a look at projects like when I wanted to create my first online course. And I remember thinking, okay, I have eight modules, eight conversations that I would have with a person that I'm going to turn into modules. Okay, what goes into each module? Okay, I write the script, then I make the slides. How many days do I need for the script for module one? Okay, probably 2 days because I pace around my house. You calculate, you know thyself. I feel like scheduling things comes down to really knowing thyself. And I love that you talk about being a morning creative person. I'm an afternoon creative person. I feel like a lot of us kind of push a river trying to be someone that we're not, and it's so much more fun to be you. How do you help people listening attune to themselves so that they can start to notice these things about themselves? Because I know, a lot of people are maybe just running so fast they don't even realize, oh, I'm a morning creative.
Part of it is doing work that people avoid, the deep work where you understand yourself. We really think, who am I? What's my personal philosophy? What is my vision? How do I want to be remembered? What is my legacy? That deep work is challenging, right? But once you have that solid foundation to build from, everything kind of falls into place. And then what I would say is you want to find identity templates, people that are similar to who you want to be. Maybe they're a couple of years ahead of you. And you can find, I normally recommend six people. So pretend, Ashley, I'm like, oh gosh, I love the way that you show up for your podcast and actually talk to your audience, not talk at your audience. So if I want to be great, become a great podcast host, which is my goal, I can say, all right, let me take that from Ashley. One of my buddies, Anthony Trucks, he's also a public speaker,
Love
but he's
him.
also a really, really good dad. You see him at his, events with his kids, they all run track and everything. I'm like, okay, cool. I want to be involved with my kids' athletic career. I'll borrow that from Anthony. So you can find various people and just take the best of them and then create a new identity for yourself. But to your point, it has to feel right. So Ashley, pretend I'm trying to follow you and you're like, oh, I do all my creative work in the afternoon. I can't change the way I work. I can take some of your best practices and deploy them in a way that makes sense for me, but you have to make sure it fits for you. Otherwise, everything falls apart.
Yeah, I love that. I feel like sometimes we live in a world where it's like copy paste, but we're all so different. I feel like that's the case, especially in the health world with like supplements. It's you can't just take what, Johnny's taking. Your body's different. And so really remembering that. Okay, so I was reading just, about you in general and like how you think, and I love this idea of taking things from people that inspire you. I know one thing that's huge for you is routine. And I feel like there's such a fine line between being rigid and with routine and also being expanded through routine. And sometimes I talk to people about their routine and it seems like they have 500 things before 6 a.m. And I'm like, oh my gosh, how are you getting more energy from all that? So just curious what feedback you have for everybody listening that maybe they do want routine and they just don't really know where to begin.
Say it goes back to just thinking about who you want to be 2 years from now. And then thinking, okay, what would that person be doing right now? And I know that's the start, but also just being very disciplined, right? So on my end, when I'm doing work, I use the Pomodoro technique where I'll work for 50 minutes straight, no interruptions whatsoever, no notifications, take a 10-minute break, and I do that for three cycles, and I'm pretty much done for the day. So it's being that disciplined, right? So discipline is destiny. But the thing is, if your destiny sounds good to you, it won't feel like a chore to do that, right? I mean, you're not going to be having fun all the time and like giggling and everything at your desk. But if you're like, wow, I'm doing meaningful work right now, this is going to impact my, my life and those around me, it won't feel like a chore. So if you can find a purpose, even in the mundane, that's how you find success. And I found the most successful people know how to embrace the suck, right? They're like, hey, this is not going to be beneficial, or this is not, sorry, this is not going to be fun. This is going to be a grind. But I know if I keep at it, then I will find success. And for me, I love things that are challenging to execute, but simple to understand, because I know just through sheer tenacity and resilience, I'll get it done. And I actually want other people to drop out because that way there's less competition. So that's what I look for. But on your own, you have to think to yourself, why am I doing this in the first place? That's why it goes back to that deep inner work. What is your why? What is your vision? What do you want to achieve? Then even when you are doing those things that aren't as comfortable or as fun, you know there's a purpose in it, and that allows you to push through.
Okay, so let's say somebody's attuned to the purpose. Let's get tactical. We live in a world of like text tweets and TikToks and all the things. If you were starting a service-based business today, and I know you have your podcast, so you've listened to so many different smart voices about it, as well as your own, what would you do if you started at zero and you were a new coach or a new tennis instructor, whatever the service is, and you really wanted to start getting consistent client flow? What would be your go-to playbook?
This is what I eventually did with my business, and I'll share what didn't work and what did work. I
Cool.
live here in Brooklyn, and I help entrepreneurs. So I joined the Brooklyn Chamber of Commerce, and I started cold emailing every member saying, "Hey, I'd like to help you," and I got very little responses. I think I got one person to respond from that. But then I thought, okay, let's go upstream. How about I reach out to the Brooklyn Chamber of Commerce and say, look, I see you do free events for entrepreneurs. Can I do one? Like business building for entrepreneurs. How's that sound? They said yes, promoted me to their list of thousands of people, gave me a conference room to speak in. There were 60 people there waiting to hear me speak. And by the way, I know some of them got my email because they had very unique names and ignored me, but they came when the Brooklyn Chamber of Commerce invited them. That's how I got my first two clients. So what would I do? I would have a speaking topic that I can share with a relevant organization that already has access to my audience. Even if it is tennis, I would reach out to the local tennis club and say, hey, can I do this talk? How to get your kids into tennis without them whining, whatever it is. Promote that to your audience, so on and so forth, right? So that's the way you do it. Then when you're on stage, you would say, hey, the best way to really, take what I'm saying to heart and apply it is to go to my website right now and download this guide that accompanies my talk. Afterwards, you can say, hey, if anyone wants to learn more from me, here's my email, so on and so forth. That's the shortcut, right? You find someone else who already has access to your audience, give them something valuable in exchange for the partnership, in this case, a free talk, and then absorb the attention that you get from speaking in front of these individuals. That's it. That's all you have to do.
I love that. And I feel like speaking and sharing is so fundamental, but for a lot of people, it's such a big fear. How do you, I know that some of us just, it's built in the fabric of who we are to get up there and communicate. Like I'm actually giving a talk this weekend in Denver to like 1,000 people. And I think part of the reason I write so many TED Talks for other change makers and book them on stage is because I love the fulfillment of the impact, but I actually don't enjoy all the eyeballs looking at me. I feel like it's just Darwinistic. I don't feel like I'm going to survive it. And I do every time. But what would you have to say for people who they want to start a business, they care about their service, and obviously, just like most of the population, they feel that fear of death, like getting up there.
I've never died on stage,
Yeah.
but I'll say this. I mean, first of all, some people have real diagnosed real phobias, so I don't want to say get over it. This might not be the route for you, and we can talk about other routes momentarily. But in my head, I think to myself, sure, I am a little nervous sometimes. I am activated, but I'm not going to let that fear get in the way of my success, because what I'm going to do on stage right now is going to support my family and can change generations, right? So that's really what it is. I want the outcome more than I want to avoid the discomfort. And beyond that, initially I wasn't that good. You can't skip the part where you suck. And I think
Right.
that's what people have to realize. And
Yeah.
going back to our friend Anthony Trucks, he said, you don't have to get better on stage at first. You have to get better at getting on stages to get actual reps in. Don't keep on, practicing in the mirror. We get it. You know how to talk to the mirror. Can you talk to real people? Because that's how you get better. So realize you're not going to be that good at first. You know, I mean, I'm glad I don't have recordings of my first talk, because I'm sure I'd be embarrassed, but it's a process. It's a
Right.
gradual process, but you will not get to grow if you don't put yourself out there, get on stage, and get that feedback.
So good. Okay, what have I not asked you about resilience roadmaps, about purpose, about, I don't know, like creating opportunities that you think would be really useful for us to share with everybody before we go anywhere?
I think one thing is, how do you continue moving forward when you don't see immediate results, right? You're like, okay, I listened to that guy on the podcast. I did all this stuff. I got my schedule. I spoke and everything, so on and so forth. I'm still not seeing results. What do? You need endurance. And one way to build endurance is just to celebrate the small wins that go with every day, right? So if you had on your schedule, I will pitch three people to speak. I will go to the gym. I will do whatever it is. Check that box at the end of the day. That's your win. You want to stack those wins up, right? Like Jerry Seinfeld, don't break the chain, because those micro wins, that's what gives you the momentum and the optimism to continue moving forward, even when you're not seeing initial results. So that endurance is so key, because it's easy to get all fired up and motivated. Oh, yeah, it's going to be awesome. What happens next week when no one replied to you? That's when you need the endurance and willpower. And that's really the backbone of resilience.
Okay. This has been such an uplifting conversation, totally shifted my energy. What I know that you have your own work, which I'm curious for you to share where everybody can find you, get started with your work. I'm also curious, is there a piece of advice or a book that really impacted you that we could share with everybody?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm going to try to give you a good answer that's applicable to everybody. I'd say if it was a book, I would check out Limitless by Jim Quick. And one reason why I like that book is, first of all, he encourages you to create a vision for your life, and that's foundational. But he teaches you how to learn. And I think a lot of people are used to one way of learning, and they feel like, oh, I'm just not getting it, because that's how it's presented to you. But he opens it up to people who have various learning styles to just further educate themselves by taking a different approach. And he makes the statement at the beginning. I believe Albert Einstein said, "If you judge a fish's ability, sorry, if you judge a fish's intelligence by its ability to swim, it'll live its whole." No, I'm screwing this up now myself. Hold on, let me go back.
I know what
If
you're
you judge
going
a
on.
fish's intelligence by its ability to climb a tree, it'll live its whole life thinking that it's stupid. There you go. So you might be that fish trying to climb a tree when really you're just, in the wrong ocean, wrong whatever. I don't know, whatever. You get the point.
No,
So
I totally
I'll
do. And
stop.
I've read that quote and it's always sat with me. I was like, this
Yeah.
has been so helpful. I hope that this gives people a little capsule burst of inspiration today. In all of your work, where is the best place for people to keep learning about you and exploring what you have to say?
Yeah, I mean, on Instagram at it's Terry Rice, you can go there. And then my website is terryrice.co. And of course, my podcast, Launch Your Business.
Love that so much. Thank you so much, Terry.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This has been great.
Thank you so much for tuning into the U-Turn podcast. And thank you again so much for our sponsors. We are here because of you. And to our listeners, thank you for checking out our sponsors. We always pick people and brands that we trust and we believe in. And just for listening to the show, writing your reviews on the Apple app, and just being willing to make your own U-turns. We'll see you next week.
This episode is brought to you by the Yap Media Podcast Network. I'm Hala Taha, CEO of the award-winning digital media empire, Yap Media, and host of Yap Young and Profiting Podcast, a number one entrepreneurship and self-improvement podcast where you can listen, learn, and profit. On Young and Profiting Podcast, I interview the brightest minds in the world, and I turn their wisdom into actionable advice that you can use in your daily life. Each week, we dive into a new topic like the art of side hustles, how to level up your influence and persuasion, and goal setting. I interview A-list guests on Young and Profiting. I've got the best guests, like the world's number one negotiation expert, Chris Voss, Shark Damon John, serial entrepreneurs, Alex and Layla Hormozi, and even movie stars like Matthew McConaughey. There's absolutely no fluff on my podcast, and that's on purpose. Every episode is jam-packed with advice that's going to push your life forward. I do my research, I get straight to the point, and I take things really seriously, which is why I'm known as the podcast princess and how I became one of the top podcasters in the world in less than 5 years. Young and Profiting Podcast is for all ages. Don't let the name fool you. It's an advanced show. As long as you want to learn and level up, you will be forever young. So join Podcast Royalty and subscribe to Young and Profiting Podcast, or YAP, like it's often called by my YAP fam, on Apple, Spotify, CastBox, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.